As a wolf looks like a dog, so flattery looks like friendship. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campbell, California, where we have some creatures around here. They're called coyotes. They look somewhat like a wolf, but they take one of their female wolves, female coyotes, who is in heat. And they take her along on their hunting pack. And then some of the dogs and creatures of the world smell that female in heat, and they go chasing after her. And as soon as she has them far enough away from safety, then the pack jumps in and has dinner. And this is a planned thing. Now, as a wolf looks like a dog, so flattery looks like friendship. You have a lot of people who say, oh, you're so wonderful, you're so intelligent, you're so great, I really enjoy you. Hey, can you loan me $50? You know? You have such a brilliance, you know, you're such a genius. How did you ever find the time to become a doctor? You know, you're so brilliant. By the way, I have a problem, you know? First they flatter you, and if you fall for the flattery, then you feel responsible to pay for the flattery with information about your illness or whatever from the doctor, who usually earns quite a bit of money in counseling with people on their illnesses. But as a wolf looks like a dog, so flattery looks like friendship. Flattery gets people off their guard. It gets people to thinking that you like them, whereas you may merely be looking at them and seeing how much you need that flattery to feel satisfied. And they say, oh, you gave a great lecture. You spoke so beautifully. You covered so many wonderful subjects. You were really on top of everything. You're really wonderful. And then they go behind your back to the next person, and they say, boy, he sure wasn't with it today, was he? He didn't really bring home one point. And he stood up there, and did you notice his coat was ajar? Or did you notice his fly was open? Or, you know, some other stupid thing? And they'll find any fault they can to knock the guy behind his back. To his face, they'll often say flattering things. Now, how many of us have done silly things like that? How many of us have heard that somebody had a problem? And we hear all the details. We know all the details of the problem. And then, when we have the opportunity, we become a spread eagle. We tell everybody what we have just heard. We cannot wait to get an audience for our gossip. We cannot wait to tell people the negative things that we've heard. Now, if there are positive things, those are like, oh, that's nice, and then you go about your business completely forgetting it. But positive things aren't that interesting, so you don't talk about them. The negative things, my, those are juicy, and so you want to spread them around. And then you always have to ask your question, what if someone were spreading this about you? How would you like it in the first place? Well, you wouldn't like it. What would you feel toward that person who was spreading it? In all innocence, just like pure gossip, you know, it's not a matter that you're trying to be mean or miserable. It's just gossip is there to be spread. And so you spread it. Gossip is really like dirt on the floor. And you walk in that dirt, and wherever you go, you track it around. And people see that dirt, and they realize what you have done, and where you have been, and the experiences you've had. Ours is to be very, very free of this. And now, how do we become free of the taint of flattery? How do we become free of the taint of compliments? Now, I say taint only from the point of view that are you touched by the flattery, then you're tainted by it. Then it possesses you. You not only need it, you must have it to survive. Now, some people say, the actress is so great. She gave a super performance. But she needed the dessert to have the audience applaud and scream and holler and whistle. Wonderful, Sarah Bernhardt. Wonderful, fantastic. Whereas, if you notice some of the really great actresses, they go out for stage calls and curtain calls because that's what's expected of them. That's what brings the house in, and that's what brings more people to see the show. But if you ever seen the Barrymores and Sarah Bernhardt and a few of the others, they walk with dignity. They come back on the stage as a requirement. Now, Liberace, a great pianist, he played beautifully, and he was flamboyant. He wore pink clothes, and he wore everything that a man shouldn't wear. And it looked okay on him. He was great. And on every piano, he had a, what, seven-stick candlestick holder, you know? It was seven candles going. And his brother George always came out and lit them. Now, he really didn't want the applause. Everyone thought he did. But he was a pure showman. He went out there and played the piano exquisitely well. And his brother George played the violin. And he put on shows all over the world, very successfully. He was the most amazing man. And he was extremely, extremely wealthy, but he only did what pleased him. He walked out on stage, he didn't have to learn any part because he knew it. He was in movies about himself, and he had no trouble learning the part because it was about him. And wherever he went, he did have one little problem. He was at the forefront of the AIDS epidemic. And because he was homosexual, and because he dealt with unprotected sex, he got AIDS, and he subsequently died. But he performed to the very eve of his death, you might say. He was a real performer and very good. And it's unfortunate that he wasn't living perhaps a few hundred years later when that scourge might well be under control at that time. But we don't judge other people for what they do or what they don't do, but he was a showman. And when people would applaud him, he would say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And like, I know it. I know I'm good. I know I'm wonderful. And you don't feel bad about him saying, I know I'm wonderful, because he is. You don't feel bad about it because he's not saying, I am better than everybody else here. He's not saying that. He says, I am having a great time. I'm being myself and just doing exactly what I love to do. Now, he was not tainted by flattery. He was not tainted by any of these things. Can you do that? Can you go through life and hear gossip and let it stop with you? Can you hear negative things about other people and not repeat it, no matter whether it's important to the story or not? Can you hear flattery and not think, oh my God, I needed that. I'll breathe deeply of that flattery. Well, hey, there'll come a day when someone forgets to send you the memo that you were wonderful. And you say, well, where's the memo saying I'm wonderful? I always get a memo after the concert saying I'm wonderful. Now, where is it today? Am I going downhill? Am I? Immediately, you are fearful of it. And you don't need that flattery. When you are good, you are just good. I was listening to an operatic singer the other day. I don't recall his name. A very famous fellow and very old. And in his young days or middle-aged days, the top tenor vocalist, just fabulous in operas and everything else. Then he got to be in his late 70s, early 80s, you know, and they were putting on a benefit. And they asked him if he'd sing for the benefit. Sure, glad to. So he practiced, and he got up there, and his voice, with the maturity in it, was even better than his voice was at its peak. Because his voice at its peak was pure and beautiful. His diction, his presentation was without fault. But here he was performing for a benefit, and he didn't have to be his best. So he was his best. He did not have to be his best, so he just gave from the very heart of him, and he gave goosebumps to you as you would listen to him, because he was just living the role of whatever part of the opera he was doing. And everybody in the audience just fell over themselves applauding. And it did turn out good, didn't it? You know, not I'm damn good, but yes, it did turn out good. Thank you so much, you see. And this is how each of us want to look at life. We want to look at life not needing this flattery, which is like the wolf, you know, in comparison to the dog. Not needing to have people tell us that we are wonderful or thoughtful or courteous, because we are. But having people tell us that because we are that, not because we need it to remind us to do it. And people will continually do that. I know from my own experience, people come up to me and say, wow, that was great. Gee, that was fine. Oh, man, I learned some new things. And, you know, I've been saying those same things in different ways for years and years and years. And I'll continue saying them for years and years and years. It reminds me of the words of Jesus. The ministers have been using the words of Jesus for 2,000 years, and it never grows old. Sometimes they seem repetitive a little bit, but it never grows old because people are looking at it from a new direction. And when we look at ourselves from a new direction, no one can flatter us. No one can bemean us. No one can put us down. Because we love ourselves. We love what we do. And we're good. And that's wonderful. It reminds me of the man and the woman. They went to bed together. And in the morning, they got up and she said, that was good for me. How was it for you? And I thought to myself, I. If it is something you have to ask about, it is just a manufactured experience. It's not two people who enjoyed a beautiful time of sharing their love, sharing their bodies, sharing their life, but it was a person who's got a job to do. Did I satisfy you? Did I do this? And if you ever do that with anything in your life, a relationship, a friendship, a teaching situation, or like Sylvia when she gave this wedding a couple weeks ago. When she gave the wedding, Sylvia just blossomed. And in her blossoming, everybody came up afterwards and said, my God, that was beautiful. Now, they didn't say, my God, Sylvia, you were good. Oh, man, you were great. You were crazy. They didn't say that at all. They said, what you did was good and very good. And that is the most beautiful, sincere compliment that anyone can ever have. And so that's the kind that, well, we can only desire that those are the kind that we receive in life. Because the other kind are useless, a wolf, seeking to give us a compliment so they can get a compliment back. Have a lovely evening and think beautiful thoughts. And I love you, I love you, I love you.